at the end of this time, covered in what we call the Old Testament, the faithful remnant of God's people hope primarily for two things. Or really, we should say, two people. All of their hopes were bound up in the appearance of two promised men. They waited for the one who was coming, and the one who was coming after him. The coming one was to be Elijah, and the one coming after him was to be the Messiah, the Christ, that one they had waited for so long. For this is what the prophet Malachi had promised would happen, that Elijah would come, and then Christ would follow. The faithful remnant sealed those words in their hearts, placing them there as the basis for their hope. And then about 400 years after Malachi uttered his prophecy, as we just sang on Jordan's banks, the Baptist cried. And while not all recognized it immediately, and many never recognized it, Jesus makes clear for us today in our text that that Baptist crying on Jordan's bank was indeed the promised Elijah. Oh yes, some never came to understand this truth, but Jesus was clear. John was that coming one spoken of in Malachi's oracle. And you know John the Baptist, right? He was that one there on Jordan's bank, preaching about repentance and baptizing to the same end. He was the one when Jesus walked out and said, "Behold the Lamb of God, who takes away the sin of the world." He was the one chosen by God the Father to baptize God the Son. But you may not remember the John the Baptist of our text until you hear it again read. For the John the Baptist of our text is a man who is sitting in jail of all places. Yes, the coming one of God sent to announce the messianic reign of Christ was sitting in jail. Well, you can only imagine, after all that he had seen and done and now was sitting in jail, you can only imagine everything that had to be going through his mind. But actually, we need not imagine. For John today, through the question he sends with his disciples to Jesus, lets us in on exactly what was going on in his head as he sat there in jail. You see, he asked aloud through his disciples to Jesus, "Are you the one, or should we look for another?" And when we hear those words, we might well ask, how can John the Baptist, the great John the Baptist who proclaimed Jesus to be the Lamb of God, the same guy who baptized Jesus and heard the heavenly words from the clouds, how can he ask such a question? How can he ask if we should look for another? Well, I suppose he can ask it the same way that you and I can ask that question in our lives as well. Although we know too who Jesus is and confess it regularly, haven't you in one situation or another in your life, perhaps not out loud like John and his disciples, asked that question, "Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another?" You see, it's an easy question to begin to ask. With God's saving hand is not nearly as immediate or universal as we might like. You see, as the people watched Jesus heal, they were amazed. But they also had to notice that as Jesus went around, not everyone who was sick was healed. And as they watched Jesus feed the thousands, indeed faith must have sprung up in their hearts. And as they walked around other places, they still saw hungry people. And oh yes, it would be amazing when one night the apostles would be miraculously freed from prison. But John the Baptist knew of no such miraculous rescue as he sat there in prison. And you know, our lives are not much different than they were then. For we too know that Jesus can heal. But we also know that he sometimes does not heal. We know that He will provide. But at times, when we look at our budgets and our bank accounts, we can begin to question how soon He's going to do it and whether it will be soon enough. You and I have heard of miracles around the world. We have probably also failed to see one in those times where we thought it would be most appropriate for God to act. And in those times, it's very easy for us, although not out loud, to say to Jesus, "Are you the one? Or should we look for another?" Oh yes, it's an easy question to ask also when the wicked prosper before our eyes. You see, John's preaching had mentioned blessings upon those who receive God's kingdom and also spoke about punishment for those who would reject it. And yet John sat there in prison while Rome and its atheist government was still in power. All those who were opposed to Jesus seemed to be just going right along on their merry way. Yes, as John's eyes testified, those who were warring against God surely did not often seem to be getting the punishment that even he spoke about in his words. And once again, at times, I think we know this feeling as well. We know how it is to try to seek and follow God and yet have some of our plans for the future simply not work out like we had hoped. While we watch other businessmen and women who seem to have no regard for God, doing just fine, and their businesses grow and grow. We watch as those who do wicked things seem to go unpunished, while every good deed, it seems, is punished. Yes, we know what it is to try to act in honesty with one another in our relationships, and yet at times see those very relationships struggle. Well, it seems that those who deceive one another freely or sometimes at least look happier than we are. Yes, it is in those times when we look at these things that we on our pillows at night again ask Jesus, "Are you the one? Or should we look for another?" And finally, that's an easy question to ask when God's promises are simply not fulfilled as quickly as we would hope. I mean, the people of God, hearing these words in our text, had waited for 400 years for Elijah to show up. And you know, they probably were getting used to that waiting. But then once the truth was revealed that John was that promised Messiah, they surely hoped that full restoration of God's kingdom would come quickly. And yet Jesus is born and does essentially nothing for 30 years to restore that kingdom. And then even after he is baptized, little things happen, smaller miracles, but the full restoration of what the Jews thought about as the kingdom of God simply was not coming to be. Rome continued to rule, opposition to Jesus grew, and John the Baptist continued to sit there in prison. And the faithful continued to wonder when. If you listen to the disciples, probably one of their most constant questions to Jesus is this: when, God, will we see your salvation? When will the kingdom of God finally come before our eyes? And you and I also wonder at times about God's quickness in bringing his salvation. Sometimes we pray for help, and yet whatever was troubling us seems to linger on and on. We ask for guidance on this or that issue that seems extremely urgent in our life, and yet feel no real strong direction one way or the other. Some of you gathered here today have been celebrating Advent now for decade after decade, talking about the return of Christ, and yet he has not come. And so we can be tempted to ask, "Jesus, are you the one? Or should we look for another?" And unfortunately, I have a feeling that the temptation to ask this question is only going to grow as the days pass. For you see, John knew what it was to live in a world where there were all sorts of gods being worshipped, with all sorts of adherents to each religion, who claimed that their religion was the best. Well, not too many generations ago, Americans simply did not have that kind of reality. While certainly there were differences in beliefs about God, for the larger part, inside the borders of America, there was only one God to be worshipped. But this is quickly changing. With new cycles of immigrants coming into the country, new religions are coming along with them. And next to churches are going up mosques and temples. And no doubt, as these people become more and more prevalent in our communities and in our region, they too will come to us and beg us to consider their God instead of our God. And our minds, no doubt, in trying times, will be tempted to ask, Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? How is it that the great John the Baptist could ask that question? Well, it's the same reason that you and I ask that question. He could ask and we can ask because so many times we have doubts about what we believe in our hearts to be true. So we are left with that question. Should we look for another? Well, Jesus says clearly today, no. He assures us today, just like he assured John the Baptist in his day, that the miracles that we see and the message that we hear are indeed proof that he is the real deal, that he is the Christ. The things that we see him do and the words that we hear him speak are proof that the kingdom of God is at hand, because Jesus, the King, has arrived. But then Jesus said something to John the Baptist that he says to us today as well. He says this, blessed is the one who is not offended by me. And when you think about that phrase, the phrase almost asserts that there will be things about Jesus that we could find offensive. There are going to be times in our lives when the way that we think that Jesus should work in our lives is not what he does. There are going to be times when his judgment of the wicked and his blessing of the righteous is not going to be as evident to our eyes as it is to his. There are going to be times when his idea of the proper timing to bring salvation is going to be far different from our idea about the same. Yes, there will be things in our life with Jesus that could easily cause us offense. But I guess we should expect that from a God who did not back down from the most offensive act that has ever happened on the planet. For if the idea of the Almighty Son of God being crucified and laid dead in a tomb does not offend our senses, then I don't think anything else would. But Jesus says to us today, blessed is the one in all those times who is not offended by him. Blessed are we when we believe, even though our eyes are not giving us all the reasons we want to support that belief. Blessed are we when we cling to the old rugged cross, rather than looking at it as some offensive act of God. Blessed are we when we open up our mouths and speak about Jesus, rather than silently questioning his ways. Because Jesus is the Messiah. He is the Christ of God, and the kingdom of God is at hand. There's no reason to look for another, for there is no other. No other name under heaven by which we can be saved. And God promises to us today, in order to bolster our faith for the coming days, that there is coming a day when we no longer will have those situations where God's salvation is not as immediate or universal as we would like. For there is coming a day when all trouble and all illness and all sickness will be gone, washed away with the last tears ever cried. There is a day coming also when the wicked will no longer prosper, and when the righteous will reign. For God has promised that the righteous will reign with him in glory forever, and that the wicked will indeed receive exactly what they have asked for, an eternal life without God. Yes, there will be a day coming when you and I will no longer wait on God's salvation and question his timing. For indeed, we will receive all of his blessings each day and every day in their complete and total fullness. There is a day coming when you and I will no longer have to quietly ask in our hearts, Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another? For on that day, we will know that Jesus is the one. He is the only one. And so we are called today to live in the knowledge of what we know is to come. For those times that we have been offended by the way God works in our lives, and the times that we have sought out others in place of Jesus, we must fall to our knees. And we must confess there is no other. Jesus, you alone are the one. And when we do so, God meets us there in our confession with his forgiveness. He meets us there with an act that many people still find offensive and foolish. That the Almighty, perfect God would forgive people like you and me who sin so often. And that he would do it not because we're such great people and have repented, but simply because he is such a great God who has died for each of us. And when we receive that forgiveness, blessed are we indeed. Blessed are we who will believe in him and not be offended because he has forgiven us so greatly. For that is our reason to rejoice, as the pink candle reminds us today. For when the question comes up in our heart, should we look for another? We know the answer. No way. Jesus is the one. Amen.